Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in beautiful downtown Portland. And welcome to you, our listeners, on all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network and down in Texas. Camaro Dave's out on the selfie circuit, so we're going to leave him out there. So what is new and what is old and what is blue, or whatever that old saying is? I don't know about those things, but I do know some new stuff that's happening in the world of barbecue. And I've asked our old friend Andy Black from Outdoors Kitchens Northwest to come join us in the studio today, and one of his famous colleagues. Whatever I was trying to say there. The Stones are going to be bringing the music to you today. And before we talk to Andy, just remind you that this part of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Let's see. It is. I got to turn my page here. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest, beef you can feel good about. I wasn't sure what line I was supposed to use after that one. And I wrote it. How's that?
That's pretty good.
Hey, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
That's good to see you again. Not really, but it is.
Yeah, I know. It's radio.
Yeah. What's new at Outdoor Kitchens?
You know, one thing that's new is, you know, I build primarily, you know, custom outdoor kitchens and whatnot.
Right.
It used to be, you know, a seasonal thing. And I've been busier in the last 2 or 3 weeks than I was all summer. So I think people have come to the realization that, hey, let's get it going in the wintertime so it's ready in the spring rather than start in the spring and have it done by fall and then you can't enjoy it. So that's new, and I think that's trending in our industry. There's some really cool grills coming out. You know, there's a I forgot. This is going to be a question you're going to ask me later, but you know how Green Egg, you know, started the ceramic thing,
right?
And Primo, which we've both owned and whatnot. You know, it's kind of like an oval Green Egg, but these companies have been coming out with these metal Kamado smokers.
Yes,
and they're about half the weight, and they hold in the heat just as well. And it seems like people are trending towards those as well. And I don't know, you've moved your Primo around before. Those things are heavy.
Yes, they are.
They're theft proof. They're too heavy to steal.
They actually, most of the time, if somebody sells their home, they go with the house.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So you know, that's another new thing. But I think everyone's kind of getting creative and coming up with other ways to barbecue, especially making it easier on the millennials. I think that they're targeting the millennials a little bit. You know, with all the tech stuff like we talked about last time.
Right.
So,
the one thing, my question about that would be right off the top is, you know, with the ceramic barbecues, you're not supposed to get any moisture inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you really don't want to do that with any barbecue if you can help it. But, you know, sometimes people leave the lid up, so to speak, and you might get a little rain in there and stuff. And it has high potential of damaging that particular unit.
Yeah, cracking and everything
cracking
like that.
And everything.
Yeah, that's another advantage to the metal ones is you really can't damage it through that. You know, they're not going to crack. You know, if you dropped it, it wouldn't break probably.
Right.
I'm not that you'd drop it, but and plus you can color it, you know, there's a lot of designer colors that people are picking out. There's a company out there, I think it's Caliber or something like that, where they've got like 8 different colors you can, you know, do it to accent your outdoor kitchen.
Yeah. What, speaking of outdoor kitchens, we'll talk, you know, more about this later in the show, but it is winter. It is, or it's coming into winter. It's not officially winter yet, but, what kind of maintenance should people be doing going into winter if they're not planning on using their kitchen a lot or at all over the wintertime? What should they be doing? I mean, do they need to get out there and drain water lines? Do they need to, you know, unhook the gas? I mean, what do they need to do?
Well, go through some appliances. If you have an outdoor refrigerator and it's going to get below 38 degrees, it's probably a good idea to unplug it. You don't need to bring it in necessarily, but you might get a plastic baggie and put it around the extension or the cord, you know, the plug and whatnot. As far as grills are concerned, I don't find any reason you can't barbecue all year round. I mean, you and I always will.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be, you know, shut down just because it's a little cold out. I mean, you know, it gets down to 30 degrees and it's windy and stuff like that. I get that. But there's a lot of days in the wintertime around here with our climate that it's, you know, 45 degrees or 48 degrees and
right.
sunny out. So, you know, you got to keep things maintained. And it's interesting you brought that up because I had a couple of customers ask me about grill cleaning services. And I kind of dug around, you know, the Portland area
right.
to find one. There isn't one, not that I know of. And so I've been talking to a coworker of mine about possibly starting a side business, not a side business, but, you know, doing that as a service, kind of fill the gaps between why we're doing our big projects.
There's actually one based in Kansas City that you could become a franchise for.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't want to do that necessarily. But, you know, what I did is, you know, we know where outdoor kitchens evolved from. Southern California, right?
Right, in Arizona.
In Arizona, exactly. Uh-huh. So, you know, I did a little bit of my intel, and I noticed that there's a lot of companies down there that do just that. And I'm willing to bet that you could charge them $300 to steam the inside of your grill, clean it all up, not make it new again, but make it a lot better. Because even though I go through maintenance steps with customers when I sell outdoor kitchens, and say, hey, you got to clean this thing, keep it up, none of them do it. I mean, none of them. I mean, I haven't found one that does. And until I go back and visit them and say, you know, you're not cleaning your grill. And then it's, you know, in such bad shape, you know, you'll never get it, you know, back to somewhat normal again.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, there is a company, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. I'll bring it up on the next show, but I was reading about it in the KCBS newsletter
mm-hmm.
that this company has now got its 50th franchise or something going out, and that's all they do. It's BBQ cleaners.
Really?
And that's what it's called.
Highly encrypted, huh?
Highly encrypted, yeah. But they're based out there in the Midwest, and they've got some, you know, I don't think they're all, you know, company storefronts. Like I said, I think they're franchised.
Mm-hmm.
But they set you up, it looks like, with the proper equipment and the guidelines to clean all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what the prices are. I haven't... you know, jumped into that, but there's probably something in this West Coast area, especially Northwest, where we are at,
mm-hmm.
that could be quite a lucrative business.
Absolutely. I mean, if you do the math on all the people out there that need their grills cleaned, and it could be an annual cleaning, it could be a semi-annual cleaning, it could be quarterly. I mean, it's dependent on usage, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's just pick out 250 as a number. You did, you know, six of those a month. And it's just money in your pocket. You
sure.
know, you're not leaving money on the table, so to speak. And people will love you to death. And then they'll retain your services again.
I think you'd probably be more likely to do six of those every 2 days around here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have the time.
It, yeah.
Really with my company, because we do have big projects that we do, it's just filling in the gaps of time between, you know, procuring things and going out and doing, you know,
right.
you know, consultations and things of
right.
that nature. But, you know, you can always get a list together and just say, hey, I'm in your neighborhood that day and take care, you know, four or five that week.
So what else do they need to do? We've got about 2 minutes here before we go to break, or a minute and a half.
Well, you know, with a lot of the grills that I have that, you know, they're gas grills.
Right.
Basically, they come with briquette trays. They're ceramic briquettes. And you just flip the trays over, turn on hot, and things kind of crumble down into the drip pan. And then you clean it that way. And then you got to clean the grates, of course. As far as the outside is concerned, I found that there's two things that are very successful getting the stainless looking good. One's called Flitz, FLITZ, and that works really well if you have stains on your stainless, you haven't cleaned in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But also, a guy that does stainless steel repair turned me on to using it's a ammonia glass cleaner. It's a spray foam. And you can get it at Home Depot or, you know, any of those places.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in like a baby blue bottle. But that stuff shines up your stuff and makes it just like brand new. And then, you know, the rest of your kitchen you got to take care of, you know, your countertops and things of that nature. If you have, you know, cladding, you probably need to seal that and it's going to last longer. You know, if you have natural stone,
mm-hmm.
it not so much, but the other stuff, it's man-made and it's basically cement that's colored. And so you probably want to get, you know, that sealed about every 4 or 5 years. And the countertops, like granite, you probably want to do the same thing every 4 or 5 years. And use a good sealer. Don't use the cheap stuff. Cheap don't work.
Kind of like sealing your driveway. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest, right on here.
Well, you're on today.
I am on today. I can tell you that. I'm Barbecue Nation. Thank you very much, and we will return after this. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Camaro. Dave is lurking somewhere out in the fog, and we've got Andy Black with us from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest. Real quickly, if you would like to email us or email a question or a trivia answer to us when it is kind of laid out there for you a little later in the show, the email address is BBQ Nation. That's BBQ, the letters, and the word nation, at alphamediausa.com. Also, we have a Barbecue Nation Facebook and a Twitter account and all that good stuff. Pretty easy to find. Facebook, it's Barbecue Nation with JT. Also, say hi to a couple of our affiliates here, KSEY in Seymour, Texas, and KUFO 970 Freedom right here, our home base station in Portland, Oregon. So thank you for listening. Now back with the Stones singing Brown Sugar. And when I was a rock and roll DJ many years ago, and Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest. We're coming into the holiday season. And, you know, some guys our age, you know, you really don't know what to get them. I mean, a lot of times, they, you know, they know for sister, they know for brother, they know for mother, they know for grandma, grandpa, et cetera, et cetera. What do we do for dad? Now, if dad is a barbecue aficionado or fancies himself one, then that kind of opens up a whole world of possibilities for people to be shopping. Now, I know it's before Thanksgiving already, but got to get to jump on this.
Right.
You know? So what have you seen out there that's kind of new or interesting?
Well, this isn't really a product, but it's something that's a great gift. And, you know, when you buy a gift for somebody else, I don't know how many gifts you've gotten where it's like you just accept it, but you don't really like it. Well, there's one thing you can do in the barbecue world to give to dad and enjoy the benefit of it as well as gift cards to, you know, butcher stores.
Right.
You know, I've heard people.
Meat markets. Give,
exactly. You know, like a $500 gift certificate or buy a side of beef as long as you have a place to store it.
Right.
Yeah, and you can't go wrong with that one. And you get to eat it. So
yeah, well, there's twin benefits there.
Right, and then we've talked about the spices and stuff like that. And the spice thing's very, you know, particular per individual. So I don't know if I'd pick something out. Kind of like buying a tie for Father's Day. You know, it's, you know, he'll wear it just because, you know, he's a kid and stuff like that. But he doesn't like it.
He takes it off in the car and puts on the tie he wants to wear that day.
Exactly.
And when he pulls in the driveway, hopefully he remembers.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, and then, you know, there's always the tongs and, you know, the equipment and stuff. But I think most people probably have that already. I don't think that's something that you'd have to acquire as a gift. What else is out there?
Well, there's always like digital thermometers. If you're, you know, if you don't have, and it doesn't have to be for Christmas. I mean, you got, like I said, we got Thanksgiving coming up here. Digital thermometer is a great gift, actually. You know, they're far more accurate than the analog with the little red hand that goes around like that. And when you're doing turkeys or hams or whatever you choose to do for the holidays, that's a pretty important thing. I mean, we talk about it all the time, but it never ceases to amaze me, Andy, the people that grill at home or smoke their products at home or whatever, they don't have them. Or they've got a real funky one they've had since 1957, you know, when Sputnik went up.
Right. Well, the analog thermometers, and I don't know if the digitals are different, but I imagine they would be, but the analog ones are affected by your elevation.
Right.
You know, so if you're, you know, up in the hills in Colorado versus down at the beach, it's going to show you a different number. Now, I think some of them are somewhat adjustable, but that's where digital will come into play.
Digital is good. We like digital.
Yeah.
Like that. You touched on something there, too. Keep in mind where you live and what the climate is where you live. you know, some of the places down in the Southwest and stuff, they don't particularly need grill covers, except for the fact it's going to keep the dust and the grit off of them.
Mm-hmm.
Up here, we need them because we get so much moisture and it rains. And if it's on the edge of the carport or something, you know, it's nice to keep them dry. But, you know, down there, they basically use it more cosmetically than we do.
Well, it's so dang windy down there, too. They'll just probably blow away.
Some of them. Like a, yeah, if they don't go all the way down and hook around, you know, like that. You can do that. And like you were talking about tongs, there's tongs out there. In fact, one of the first guys we ever had on Barbecue Nation several years ago, he had invented tongs with a light in it.
I remember that.
Yeah. And that was fine. I've used mine. Mm-hmm. It's just better if you have kind of natural patio lighting, mm-hmm. you know, and daylight, obviously, but at nighttime, you know, you got to kind of, when you're cooking, you got to kind of get a picture of the whole grill mm-hmm. at the same time, because you can eyeball, you know, this batch of meat over here is cooking faster than this one. You've got hot spots, cold spots. We've talked about that ad infinitum on this show, but you've got that. And if you get the whole picture, if you've just got a small light or people out there with flashlight, I still put I have one of those little pen lights, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's got a pretty good, you know, field of brightness. But I still put one of those in my pocket when I go outside at night to check on the roast or whatever we're doing.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you bring up the lighting thing. I've been working on partnering up with a local company, and I forgot the name of it, Oregon Outdoor Lighting or something like that. But anyway, they do some really cool lighting where they can embed these lights that are flush into your, you know, patio,
mm-hmm.
and then have it all around. There's definitely a science to it. I mean, you wouldn't want me doing it. But you can light a path going to different eating areas up to the house. It will give you light for your, you know, cooking purposes, your plating, your eating purposes. And it's not very much money. I mean, when he gave me kind of a general number on how much to do a project, I was like going, man, I thought it would be three times that much.
Yeah.
And I think that's becoming popular. It's another, you know, bullet in our gun that we're trying to, add to, you know, being the best place in Oregon to do outdoor kitchens. That's something I've kind of looked to the side. But I think lighting is very important. Lighting and music. I think those two things are kind of overlooked.
Well, and one of the things, too, lighting has gotten so much better with LED.
Right.
And all that. You're not going to worry about, I mean, bulbs burning out or one of the lines burning out because mm-hmm. you got a short somewhere in just that one section and it kind of flubs everything up. With the LED lights, I don't think that happens.
No, LED still goes out because I know there's LED lightings on some of my knob handles on my grills, and they're kind of a pain to change out. One of the reps was showing me how to do it, and I probably couldn't do it. But yeah, I think that was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago when they had LED lighting. I think that's gotten a lot better too. Yep. I agree.
We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We'll be back with Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest right after this. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, Dr. Dave, and Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest is with us today. Thank our friends over at Painted Hills Natural Beef. That is beef that comes from the heart of the Pacific Northwest, and you can feel very good and count on it. How's that? Is that good? I think you can count on it.
That's great stuff.
It is great stuff. And also our friends down at Barclays Buy Sell Pawn, they've got not only some guitar specials going on, coming up for the holidays, but they also have, if you're in dire need of a really high-quality pressure washer, I mean, like a $3,000 unit model,
mm-hmm.
they've got one down there for $899.
Wow.
Yeah, so check them out at Barclays in Woodburn. You can look them up online and find out what's going on there. Also, thank you, everybody, listening to the show that's also been listening on the SoundCloud. We've set some new records with our downloads on SoundCloud. We're going to talk about it after the holidays because it'll break a very substantial number at that point. So that's pretty good.
Not surprised.
Yeah, and if you want to email us, it's BBQNation, BBQNation at alphamediausa.com. Okay, I got all that stuff done. And what do you cook for the holidays? Whatever I give you? Or
No. Thanksgiving, I really try and stay traditional. You know, do the turkey. Yeah. Turkey. Although, you know, bringing up Thanksgiving, this is definitely off the point of where we're going. But did you hear about that Pringles stuff? Pringles, like, for $15, and it comes in three different cans. One's your, what is it? One's your turkey, one's your cranberry, and one's your, I think, potatoes or something flavored. Yeah. Yeah. And so Pringles is kind of, they did it on a limited basis last year. And so this year.
I hope so.
Yeah. This year, I mean, I don't think I would never eat that for my dinner or anything like that. But it's kind of interesting that they're kind of, you know, going off of their standard menu and doing something so extravagant.
Can you buy a 49 cent pack of brown gravy mix and then mix it up, cook it, and pour it all over that crap?
Probably. Brown gravy goes with everything.
Okay,
right?
All right. Well, it goes with a lot of things, but Pringles, I'm not so sure. Yeah. You use it as a dip. Make it really thick and use it as a brown gelatinous dip.
Right. But, you know, back to your question, though, I just do the traditional stuff. I don't know if, you know it's because, you know, my mom used to do it for me.
Right.
I kind of want to honor her and things like that. But yeah, so I'll waver. Christmas is a little different.
We're going to have Meathead on next weekend.
Really?
Talking about stuff to do for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be on again at Christmas or before Christmas, talk about Christmas dinners. But he and I have pretty much the same thoughts on certain things. And, you know, he's talked about how to spatchcock a turkey and some of this stuff for people. But we're going to give you some surprises. So you might want to check that out.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's all good. Back to talking about barbecue and what's new and what's old and blue. You know, it's amazing that everybody that comes out with a cooker, either pellets or charcoal, they also come out with their own brand of pellets and charcoal.
Right. They probably don't make it. They source it out.
Yeah, they source it out.
And then put their name on it. Yeah. Sure, why not?
Well, there's only so many pellet mills, for example, in the United States, and the majority of them are owned by one company. And there are smaller companies. There are smaller mills. I'm not saying anybody's cheating. You know, like that. But there is only a handful of different operations around the country. And yet every pellet grill, and again, you know, Kamado style or offset stick wood style that you want to burn, not briquettes, but, you know, lump charcoal in.
Mm-hmm.
They come out with stuff with their name on it. So my point in telling you that is if you're buying somebody, thinking about buying somebody a gift, a large gift, for Christmas, like a new cooker of some quality, you might get them some fuel too.
Yeah, that's
a good idea.
It's a real good idea. You know, I did find out with, when I got my Primo and stuff like that, I used the Primo lump charcoal,
right,
which is phenomenal in my opinion. I think it's the best I've ever had. There might be something better out there, but I didn't have it. But then I ran out. I went up to, I think, Safeway or something like that and got a bag of their stuff. It wasn't even close to being the same.
No.
So, you know, pellets, I think, are a little bit more universal, especially after you told me that, you know, there's pretty much one company that makes most of them and everyone else brands it.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing. But hardwood charcoal, I think that's a little bit different.
Well, it can be. I know that I've done, used half a dozen brands over the years of hardwood charcoal. And some burn up faster than others.
Right.
You know, some don't hold the heat as long. There's just different variables and I don't normally, you know, promote, a brand on the show, so I'm not going to do that. But if you want to email me, I'll email you back and tell you which ones I think are the best. But you're right. The Primo stuff, you know, that stuff works pretty good, but that's still custom packaged by somebody else. I don't know who.
Probably. I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, Primo doesn't specialize on that stuff.
Yeah.
And how do they make that? Don't they just burn it and burn the water out?
Yeah, and it's pressurized.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I always wondered that.
If you ever take a little piece and kind of throw it and hit the ground, it kind of shatters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from the pressure, the heat pressure they put it under.
Interesting.
And do that. Yeah. Yeah. You warm your hands on it. You know, if you're going to use briquettes, you know, if you've got a Weber kettle or something, which is still the number one selling grill in the world.
Mm-hmm. I learned my chops on that sucker.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can get whoever you're buying for if they have a Weber kettle. And the one thing about Weber kettles, you can get them for under a couple hundred bucks with some nice attachments, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the old days where it was just the kettle, boom, like that, and the lid and the grate, and you're on your own.
Right.
You know, but they've got different things now that go with them. And they've got a little higher end ones. They've got a little different airflow system and things like that. But again, a good bag of charcoal, you can use lump or you can use briquette in those. Works out pretty good.
Right.
So which is your favorite to cook with?
Well, I don't cook with charcoal. So it's all lump hardwood charcoal.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I use. I think it just tastes better. I'm trying to think, you know where original briquettes came from? I believe it had something to do with Henry Ford. And it was all the extra plywood they had from doing the Model Ts and stuff. And they used to bunch it up with coal and make briquettes out of it.
Huh.
And that's how they'd, you know, fuel their machines and stuff,
right.
Furnaces and stuff
right.
Like that. And then it went into the barbecue world. So a little side
story. Check that out. Yeah. Make sure that's verifiable.
I will.
Put it on Snopes.
I do Intel, man. You know that.
Well, okay. Next question. when you're looking also to, you know, you want something different. You want something that's not a thermometer or not a chimney stack to heat, you know, briquettes in or something like that. There are new items that are coming out. And the newer stuff, though, which is always kind of fun, is like the rubs and sauces.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you can try some of those. I mean, we're kind of conventional. We've been doing this a long time, and we kind of know what we like. But I'm always interested to see what comes out in new rubs and or sauces
mm-hmm.
for that. I mean, we just happen to have a refill of something here in the, you know, in the studio. But I think that you can look at those things and kind of gauge engage a lot of things about outdoor cooking business, as it were, competition stuff, as it were. You see a whole bunch of new spices. Now, I guarantee you, 3 years from now, if you have five new products come out this year, maybe three of them will be there 5 years from now. Maybe.
Right. Kind of weed each other out.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's another gift I was just thinking about. I was reading about this the other day, and I know about it, but it seems like a lot of these companies that make the big green eggs or the big Primos or the big, you know, whatever brand gas grill, they're coming out these mini versions that are very portable.
Right.
So you can take them to tailgating. You can take them camping. You can take them to the beach. You can take them to a friend's house if they're having a party.
Yeah.
And you can grill your own stuff if they don't have room on their grill or they don't have a grill. But that's a nice, fairly inexpensive gift that I think everybody would like.
Oh, yeah. It's about a third of the cost.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, it's about a third of the
cost. Yeah, very manageable to move, too.
You know, we saw that. I did the Ducks tailgate stuff for several years here with Alpha, and we always used pretty much the same gas grill. One, because you couldn't have open flame down there that you could leave. You know, you had to have a contained fuel source, basically. And that was the propane stuff. But at other places down in the Southwest and other stadiums, not so much in Oregon and Washington, I mean, they're into outdoor cooking. They're into grilling. They're into this. So, you know, the more the merrier. They'll let you set up your Weber kettle or your Lange smoker if you tend to bring one, or just a little miniature Kamado style.
Mm-hmm.
They'll let you do that. But we don't do that so much up here.
Mm-hmm.
We're a little behind.
A little bit. Well, yeah, but we're moving forward, and we were doing pretty good. I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, I don't think barbecue was really for anyone except enthusiasts for the most part.
Right.
Now it's like it's not an afterthought. With people, you know, they enjoy it, and they're figuring out it tastes better, and it's kind of fun to do.
It does.
And Barbecue Nation's been a big push on that, too.
It has. Yeah. We do our part.
Yeah.
Push.
There you go.
We're going to take a break. We're going to be back, wrap up the show with Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest in downtown Tualatin, Oregon, right after this. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my very good friend Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest. As we head into the holidays and the new year in the world of cooking, grilling, smoking, barbecuing, and doing whatever else you want to do out there, my friend. Let's talk about outdoor kitchens really quickly. I come to you and I say, Andy, I got a budget of $50,000, which I don't, and I work in radio. Remember that. Right. But I got a budget of $50,000. I got this space behind the house. It's already got a slab on it, whatever. You help them. You pick out the stuff like this. But how long does it take to actually come in before it's from start to finish?
Well, I've got a process that I've really been I've been putting together, and I think we just got it down. So, you know, the first thing I do with customers is to have them come in and take a look at the possibilities, because everyone wants the gas grill, but they're not thinking about some of the other things like the Evo that's offered, right, that I offer, and things like that. So I have them in, and every time I've gone to their house first, I've never sold anything. So I think it's like they're making an effort to come in, and I'm not wasting my time or theirs. Then I go to their house and do a site visit. Do some measurements, and I don't go off a budget so much like a lot of people do. What I do is ask the right questions, you know, listen, the old 80-20 rule, and let them talk 80% of the time. Make sure they know all the possibilities, figure out what space they want to fill up, and then put it together, and then propose a budget number. Now, if they said $50,000 out of the gate, I would definitely know that don't go too cheap with the stuff, you know. I mean, go with something fairly nice. But to answer your question, it fluctuates. So, you know, once we get a contract signed and we hit the go button and I get a deposit, it's about 4 to 6 weeks for my custom aluminum frames. And then it's another 2 weeks to template for the countertops and install that. And then if we have to come in and do cladding or something up for the facing material, that usually is 2 or 3 days after that. So the best case scenario is probably about 6 weeks. And worst case is probably 2 months, maybe 9 weeks, somewhere in there.
Actually, that's not bad.
No, no, not at all.
I mean, if you're starting to build all that stuff, they probably still have or have some remnants of a cooker or a gas grill or something on their back porch. They can still cook on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're just upgrading major league.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and it goes back to our earlier conversation at the start of the show. People are finally coming to the understanding, hey, let's do this, you know, in January, February, and have it ready for, you know, April, May, rather than these things that start in May or April. Seriously, it just gets busy and the frames take longer to get and things like that. Man, we're sometimes not done until end of August or September. Then they got 1 month, kind of, left to enjoy it outside without getting rained on.
Well, that's true. And here in the Northwest, you know, like you said, you can cook out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can adapt to that pretty easily. But hanging around, unless you've got a covered area or extended roof, you know, over some part of it, that makes it a little tough.
Well, you know, I've talked about the Crotty product. It's the Italian company that's based in Texas. We just bought on this motorized louver system that you'd embed LED lighting in the blades. And so you can truly enjoy the outside without getting rained on. And you get some sun, you know, when the sun's out. And you can even put side enclosures so you can seal in the area and really use it with some heaters and stay warm and be outside in your shorts and your flip-flops in January and be all right.
Not like my wife said this morning, we meet out in the morning. We sit out there and we talk a little bit. I mean, we just do it all the time. And unless it's really freezing ass cold, we go out there. And it was about 7 o'clock this morning and we're sitting out there and we're talking and all of a sudden she goes, damn, it's cold. And she just kind of went in the house, you know. Well, this is the first time this last couple of weeks that we've actually seen temperatures drop down below 50 for any significant length of time.
Oh, I know what you're saying. When I took my dogs for a walk this morning, it was a lot colder than what I thought. I mean, I think it got down to 38 degrees or something last night. So it was kind of borderline, almost freezing.
You get out there, you still cook in your underwear, right? Outside, scare the neighbors?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. And they're still on the proper rotation, Monday, Tuesday in front, Wednesday in back.
Hey, I got to make them nervous, man. I don't want them to think I'm all right, you know.
Oh, God. What's your favorite thing? We just got about a minute left. What's your favorite thing to cook on the grill or smoker?
Well, smoker, you know, I like the pork shoulder a lot, and that's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I do a fair amount of chicken, but that's not really fancy cooking by any means. I do like doing appetizers. Like on Saturday, I don't like a dedicated meal. So I'll do my...
You like to graze during the ball games?
Yeah. So, you know, I can go out there. I don't have to keep an eye on it. But, you know, stuffed mushrooms, stuffed jalapenos, you know, just little tidbits here and there. It's just easy and sort of variety. And you can kind of chip away at it. You're not sitting down and cutting up a big piece of meat. I like leg of lamb a lot. My mom used to cook that. It was phenomenal. I think she was Swedish or something. I had part Swedish in her, so
maybe part Basque.
So some, and she used to get rosemary and, you know, salt and pepper and butter and just pat that thing and cook it, and it just tasted wonderful. I mean, I'm salivating just talking about it.
Andy Black, thanks for being with me.
Hey, it's great being here, JT.
We're going to bug out of here. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Until that time, thank you very much for listening and letting us come into your lives again this week. You take care, and we will see you down the road.